Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Good Friday to you. Always enjoy our conversations with our next guest, Ryan McGee. Marty and McGee, SEC Network, ESPN. He's a gearhead like me. Ryan, what's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm good, man. It's kind of a crazy summer. It's been busier than normal, and SEC media days. I mean, I'll be out there in Nashville like Sunday night, and there for the week. And it's just crazy that I feel like summer started like 2 hours ago, and it'll be over like an hour from now.
Well, I hope, I don't know if you were on hold yet, but that you heard the commercial that played right before you came on. It was talking about the Fairgrounds Speedway as things continue to try and move in the right direction with that. Because I know how much racing means to you, and we've talked about it so much over the years. I've used your line, a ticket as a vote, quite a bit, as the Ally 400 was sold out this year. I really hope they can get this thing done and we get some improvements done and some NASCAR racing out at the Fairgrounds.
Yeah, me too. And the enthusiasm for it is off the chart. And I tell you, I don't live in Nashville. I live in North Carolina, and people here are talking about it. And I was at the All-Star race at Wilkesboro, just a month ago, and what I saw there, and standing overlooking the racetrack on Saturday morning with Marcus Smith, who is spearheading the Fairgrounds revival. I look at Marcus and I go, dude, if you can do this, you can do anything. Because I'm telling you, North Wilkesboro was one of the saddest things you've ever seen in your life. And it was literally like the Titanic just sitting there rusting next to the highway for almost 30 years. And they just ran the All-Star race. And so if they, and to get in the Cup race next year. So if you can do that to that place, then I can't even begin to explain to people in Nashville, if they'll let them do it, what Marcus Smith and his team will be able to do that racetrack and restore it to what they did at Wilkesboro. Was it was so brilliant was that it felt new, but it was not new. They somehow managed to hit it down the middle. They did at one place what I think NASCAR should be trying to do every day, which is hit it down the middle, make it modern, make it awesome, make it exciting for all ages, but at the same time, make sure you at least keep one toe, stuck in the amazing history that stock car racing has. And that's what they'll do at Nashville. They'll let them do it.
Yep. And I think, and you would know this better than I would, but I feel like with Wilkesboro and then hopefully Nashville, that maybe that does give Rockingham some hope.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I'm from there. Right. I was born in Rockingham. I'll be buried in Rockingham. I was at my grandmother's house that I still own, not even just a few days ago, and went by the racetrack on the way. And it's just, it's a perfectly great racetrack just sitting there. But I'm telling you right now, man, if they did what they did, could do at Wilkesboro. But the point is, what you don't want to do is you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to kill the goose looking for golden eggs. So, they have a night race in Charlotte, and it's great, and all of a sudden everybody's got a night race. And all of a sudden road courses become a big deal, and everybody wants a road course. And you can't overdo it. We don't need 9 street races. We don't need 1 dirt race. We got 1. And so you gotta pace it right. But yeah, man, there's no reason why. I didn't believe that until I saw what they did at Wilkesboro. I thought, right, Rockingham's done. But now that I saw what they did at Wilkes-Barre, I'm like, man, I think they could do this if they really wanted to.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ryan McGee is with us from ESPN. So how do you think SEC coaches are going to address the Northwestern situation next week? Because you know it's going to come up. I know Big 12 coaches have tried to sidestep and not get too much into it. But I feel like Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, guys like that, they're not going to have that luxury just because of the seat they have at the table.
Yeah, and Kirby Smart's in a mess right now. Kirby Smart can't keep guys from getting pulled over for driving 100 miles an hour.
Right.
I mean, it's a problem. We're talking about half a dozen guys. And so it's the CEO part of the job is the part of the job that none of those guys want to do, but you have to do. And I remember Mac Brown, who I love so much, and Mac Brown telling me stories about when he'd been in North Carolina for years and he got to Texas and understanding what it is to be the CEO of a, you know, $100 million corporation, which is what these teams are. And, you know, him walking out to practice and a helicopter lands and they go, Coach, you got to leave. The governor's wife's birthday is tonight and you have to make an appearance. And he's like, I got to get ready for Oklahoma State. But that's the gig, man, right? I mean, it's spreadsheets and it's disciplinary action and it's ultimately, it doesn't matter what company you are CEO of, whether it's a football team or whether it's, you know, the bank. If there's fraud going on and this is happening on your watch or, you know, sexual harassment or, you know, the mess they've had at Northwestern, whatever, you're ultimately in charge. And when coaches and when athletes and when celebrities will kind of complain about, you know, why do I have to deal with this and why do I have to deal with that? My answer is always, well, good news, you don't have to. You can get the money back, right? I mean, if you don't want to take the money and you don't want to have the job and you don't want to be famous, then, you know, there's plenty of jobs out there where you don't have to deal with this. And so I think the problem is, and this is what everyone's wrestling with, is I don't know anyone that doesn't like Pat Fitzgerald.
Right.
He's amazing. I mean, he was one of my favorite, you know, college football, you know, personalities as a player back in the day. And so that's the tone you hear is people just can't believe it, and it scares them. So the reality is the Delaware have to answer the questions, but they also need to go back through their own deal in their own office and make sure there's nothing going on that they don't know about.
Yeah, that's something we talked about earlier of, like, how many of them looked around and go, hey, are we good? Is there something I need to know going on? Talking with Ryan McGee from ESPN. So the SEC about to expand again. You know, the SEC, I think, has been progressive in some ways. But do you believe that the rest of college football at times will look at them as sort of the evil empire? And how do you think Greg Sankey addresses that and continues to deal with that on a daily basis?
I know. So I was just the College World Series, which, you know, sits right there, you know, in Nebraska, between Nebraska and Iowa. I mean, it is Big Ten country. And meanwhile, you know, we're watching two SEC teams play for the College World Series championship and all that. And everybody definitely has, you know, SEC fatigue. But the reality is, yeah, what I say is there's an easy way to fix this. Beat them, you know, and outflank them. And so the reality is that Greg Sankey's job, while he has been co-chair of this, you know, future of the NCAA committee, or whatever it is they're calling it, ultimately his job is to take care of the SEC. And, you know, I go back to the Texas-Oklahoma deal. You know, I don't necessarily, as a college football purist, and I've talked to you, talking about Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, I've talked to all these guys about this, you know, I don't know if it's in the best interest of college sports in general that Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12. And I know it's not that USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12. But if you're Greg Sankey and Texas and Oklahoma call you on the telephone and say, we want to do this, you have to do it. You know, and so it's a really, really interesting time right now. We can't look too far into the future, but this is a really long way of saying Greg Sankey's got to take care of the Southeastern Conference. And that's why he gets paid a lot of money, and that's why he just got a contract extension. And the confidence in him is through the roof. But, yeah, the rest of the country's getting tired of it. But you know, the Big Ten's not sitting there. The Big Ten isn't whining. The Big Ten is taking care of business and trying to keep up. And their teams are going to put a little more money in the bank than the SEC teams are in 2 years. And so if you're everyone else, sitting and complaining about it is a waste of time because you need to be making the moves to keep up.
So let's talk a little football, as this will probably be a discussion next week here in Nashville. If you had to pick a Heisman winner out of the SEC, who's top of mind for you this year?
It's a great question. And, you know, the SEC, you think about the last few years we've gone in knowing who the quarterbacks are. And the reality is the Heisman Trophy is a quarterback award now. Just
right.
You know, that's just the way of the world. And, you know, it is what it is. And so I look around the conference and there's so many quarterback questions. I can't remember a year when we went into with a lot of high-profile teams that we might have a pretty good idea who the quarterback is, but we don't know for sure. So that's a really long way of saying, I don't know. I really don't. And I'm curious to see, you know, who steps up in these quarterback roles. But, you know, I think there are sleepers in the group. You know, going into last year, I think everyone agreed that Hendon Hooker was going to be great.
Yep.
I don't think everyone believed that Hendon Hooker would be the Heisman front runner in October, which is what he was. So, you know, I look at like a KJ Jefferson at Arkansas. If they let him do what he can do and he can stay healthy, which he wasn't able to do a year ago, you know, that's a guy that we're not talking about now. That if Arkansas is sitting 6-1, you know, past midseason, and they're averaging 40 points a game, KJ is a guy that I think people start paying attention to. So I think the conference is packed with those guys.
I agree with you. I mean, I think there's a guy taking over in Knoxville that's intriguing. That you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, and Joe
he's
Milton.
He's Uncle Rico. I could throw it over those mountains. I'm 100% sure that kid could throw it over those mountains if you told him to.
Speaking of to see real quick, Pat Forty saying that the NCAA infractions committee will have their findings on Tennessee. We're closer to knowing what is exactly going to be their punishment. Do you think it's going to be a postseason ban, or is it more just going to be scholarships and recruiting?
I think it's going to be scholarships and recruiting, and I think that's what it should be. You know, to me, it's one thing to punish the staff of people who were there that, you know, none of them were there when all this went down, and that's tough enough. But when you punish the kids who had nothing to do with any of it, and to me, that's what a postseason ban is. So I'm hoping, you know, I went to Tennessee. I'd say this about any school. I don't like punishing 19-year-olds for something that a bunch of 45-year-olds did 4 years earlier. And so yeah. I'm hoping, you know, if you restrict what the staff can do and what the administration can do, you know, I think you probably should do that. But the reality is that you shouldn't keep these kids from ever playing a ball game. So I don't believe that a postseason ban will be the case, but we're also talking about the NCAA, and every time I think I know, how the rules are enforced, that's usually not how that goes down.
I'm right there with you. Ryan, always good to talk to you. We will see you next week here in Nashville.
Yeah, I'll be there. I can't wait. You know, when we're in Hoover and Atlanta and all these places, whatever, but when we're in Nashville, I'm assuming Marty's just going to introduce me to every country music star in the world, so we'll see.
I think that'll happen, too, and it'll be good to catch up with you. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, man.
All right, Ryan McGee, ESPN, Marty and McGee, of course, the show, joining us. SEC Network does a fantastic job, and I'm sure he will be on our airwaves again next week, live in Nashville from SEC Media Days. Coming up next, we'll react to some of those things and talk a little Titans as well with the latest in D-Hop Watch. But also, TD brought up a player this morning to pay attention to, and I think he's right, but maybe for different reasons. We'll discuss that next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.